Trust you have your Bibles tonight because we're going to be going through quite a few passages and I want you to follow me. This is an exercise. Remember what exercise is? Exercise is doing something. I didn't look this up ahead of time, but I think of exercise as doing something that I do repetitively to build something up. And tonight we're going to look at a number of passages, all in the book of Ezekiel. So Ezekiel, to start with, chapter 38, Ezekiel chapter 38. And you know what the theme of the book of Exodus is. The book of Exodus has the theme, as far as what we've been looking at on Sunday nights, that they may know that I am the Lord. Well, interestingly enough, there is a recurring phrase in this book of Ezekiel that is perhaps the theme of this book, and it is found in 38 and verse 23. If you're there, follow me. I was looking at that and going, there are not 23 verses in chapter 38. And then I found out that I was in Isaiah. I'm looking at this going, okay, where is this verse? Ezekiel 38, 23. Thus will I magnify myself, this is God speaking, and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I want to start with this question. What is it that causes men, whether it's God's own backslidden people or it's the wicked, what is it that causes men to know that He is the Lord? This happens in at least one of at least two ways. Here's one way that men will know that God is the Lord. It's the word judgment. It's the word judgment. Look at chapter 39 of Ezekiel, and I want to read verses 22 to 24. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, their God. There it is. From that day and forward, and the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity, this is their judgment, for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. God's own people will know that He is the Lord when God punishes them. So men will know that God is the Lord through judgment. But here's another way. Through the sanctified living of His own people. When you see somebody who's living a holy life, you will know that He is the Lord. Next verse in Ezekiel 39, verse 25. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land and none made them afraid, when I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, there it is again, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. When these people are sanctified, people then also know that God is the Lord. Back up to verse 7 of the same chapter, Ezekiel 39, verse 7. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Let's keep backing up. Go to chapter 36 and note verse 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Again, I ask, what is it that causes men to know that God, that He is the Lord? It's either the judgment of God or the sanctified living of His own people. So what are people, how are people going to know that the Lord, He is God in our world today? It could be through your righteous life, your sanctified living, or it could be by God's judgment upon them. Time and again, we read in Ezekiel that men will know that the Lord is God. I believe if you follow that theme through, or that phrase, that is the theme of the book of Ezekiel. Now here comes the exercise. Let's go through the book of Ezekiel very quickly and look at some of the passages, because I really want to emphasize what is taking place with this phrase in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 6, you'll have to follow along very quickly with me. When we come to the passage that says, "Then they shall know that I am the Lord," I want you to read that out loud with me as I read. So 6-7, you've got to really be alert. You've got to go with me if we're going to do this properly. Ezekiel 6 verse 7, "And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Look at verse 10. "And they shall know that I am the Lord." You missed on that one. "And that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them." Look at verse 13. "Then shall you know that I am the Lord." You caught that one on the very end. "When their slain men shall be among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill, and all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols." Look at verse 14. "So will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblath, and all their inhabitants, and they shall know that I am the Lord." Just in chapter 6 alone, those occurrences. Now go to chapter 7 and look at verse 4. "And mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Verse 9, "And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth." Go down to verse 27. "The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord." Chapter 11 and verse 10. Notice the judgment here. "Ye shall fall by the sword. I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Verse 12, it starts with it. "Ye shall know that I am the Lord, for ye have not walked on my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you." Are you getting tired of this yet? Go to chapter 12, look at verse 15. Here we go. "And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries." Verse 16, "But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen whither they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord." Look at verse 20. "And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste." Here's judgment. "And the land shall be desolate, and
ye shall know that I am the Lord."
Go to chapter 13, look at verse 9. "And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and the divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and
ye shall know that I am the Lord God."
Verse 14, "So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and
ye shall know that I am the Lord."
Folks, we could go on and on and on. At least 64 times in the book of Ezekiel. Now, I did that exercise just to give us the idea. How many times does God say, "You're going to know"? Okay, you're going to know. You are going to know that I am the Lord God. You are going to know that I am the Lord God. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You will know that I am the Lord. How much better you know that here then one day when somebody would stand at the great white throne and realize, boy, He is the Lord God. He is the Lord at least 64 times. But let's go to the very first occurrence of the word "know" in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, look at verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, speaking to Ezekiel, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know, there's the word, that there hath been a prophet among them. God is saying to Ezekiel, whether they listen to you or not, there's something I want them to know. There was a prophet in their midst. How many times when we have the opportunity to witness, we hold back and say, they're not going to listen to me. Ezekiel could have said that. God had even told him ahead of time, they're not going to listen to you, Ezekiel. But that's not what matters. I called you to be a prophet. They need to know that there was a prophet in their midst. God has commanded us to witness to everybody, whether or not they will listen, whether or not they will hear, that they might know that there was a prophet in their midst. You see, the believer might say, well, I won't say anything because I'm not going to get anywhere with this person. She or he won't listen to me. Well, the answer is in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 5. Yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. God wants everyone to know that there has been a prophet among them. What kind of a man does this require? What kind of a man or woman does this require who is willing and able to go and speak to somebody who will not listen? To speak to somebody who might look at you and with anger in their eyes, reject what you're saying. What kind of person does that require? We'll go to the very next chapter of Ezekiel, look at verses 7 through 9. But the house of Israel, God is telling Ezekiel, will not hearken unto thee. Can you imagine you going out to witness, knowing ahead of time they're not going to listen to you? What kind of a witness are you going to be? For they will not hearken unto me. Ezekiel, they're not going to listen to you because they don't listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Now here's what's required, verse 8. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. This verse has been an encouragement to me. I cannot tell you how many times when I'm talking, sometimes when I'm preaching and I look out here and people are looking at me like, that happens. I can look at people while I preach and I can see what kind of a response I'm getting. And I think of this verse while I'm preaching. I think of the fact when it says, don't be dismayed at their looks. Though they be a rebellious house, do not be dismayed at their looks. I would like you to go, please, to Ezekiel chapter 33. I told you we were going to really be looking around in this book, and then we're going to go into the book of Isaiah. Ezekiel chapter 33. This is the chapter, as is chapter 3, about the watchman's warning. Verse 30 of chapter 33, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, And it will come to pass. Lo, it will come. Then shall they know what? A prophet has been among them. Hear it again is repeated. You know what? They're going to listen to you preach and they're going to go, what a lovely sermon. Oh, how good that was. And they're going to listen to your voice and they're going to say, that was such a great sermon, and they're not going to do it. One thing's for sure, and this is going to happen, he says, they will know that a prophet has been among them. They will know. You can go to Luke chapter 10 and look at verses 10 through 12 where Jesus is telling his disciples, you go to a city and they don't listen to you, take the shoes off, shake your dust off against them. It's going to happen. You can go to John chapter 15 and Jesus says, if I had not come and spoken the words that I spoken to them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Jesus knew people were going to reject him. Doesn't matter. He went and he spoke. So that they might realize there was a prophet among them. Folks, what people in the United States of America need to know, and it's not happening today, is that there are still godly people in this nation. How are they going to know that if we don't say anything? As our nation really goes down the toilet, it has been happening so fast lately. I mean, is anybody else aware of the speed with which our nation is going down? So quickly? And people are starting to shut up. People, Christians, are not saying anything. Folks, we need to speak up. We need to say something. When is it that the heathen will know that God is the Lord? Is it when God shows them favor or when God shows them judgment? When is it? The heathen who murder children before they're born, and now even after the child is born. And things are only going to get worse. If that's going to be allowed pretty soon, that's infanticide already. But who's to say when they'll say, well, you know, we've got up to one year before that child can be killed. Maybe 2 years. Oh, that'll never happen. They might have said that in ancient times, but there was a king who once did that, kill every child 2 years old and younger. Heathen who practice every perversion imaginable. Sodomites. Transvestism. Who would have ever thought that that kind of ugliness would take place? But it's happening, and it's going to only get worse. Because Christians have not been saying anything. Because Christians have this idea, well, if I just show them favor and grace and so forth, that, you know, they'll see how nice I am, and eventually they're going to come to me. What was the question I asked before? What is it that is going to cause the heathen to know the Lord, that you show them grace, favor, or judgment? And everybody said judgment. The wicked do not learn righteousness when they are shown favor. Let me say that again. Wicked men, the heathen, do not learn righteousness when they are shown favor. You say, where's that in the Bible? I'll show you. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 10. This is a verse worth memorizing. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 10. I just want to read the first part of the verse because we're going to look throughout this verse as we go on through this tonight. Isaiah 26, 10. Are you there? Here it says, very bluntly and very plainly, let favor be showed to the wicked. Go ahead and show him favor. Yet what? Out loud, please. Okay, stop. He will not learn righteousness. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. Then how does the wicked learn righteousness? Well, back up. Go to the previous verse, chapter 26 and verse 9, and look at the last part of that verse. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. It's when God's judgments are in the earth, that's when the inhabitants of the earth learn righteousness. And yet, people, yea, Christians today, think that if I'm just showing them favor, I'm not saying we shouldn't be kind, but we show favor. And we say, I just won't say anything because I will lose an opportunity to witness. Have you ever heard me say this before? Does anybody remember me saying this before? That we think we're going to get an opportunity for witness if we simply don't say anything. And I don't want to offend this guy. What happens when we say nothing? We think the wicked are going to be impressed when we cater to them, when we pander to them, when we steer clear of saying anything that would upset them, when I simply don't discuss religion, when I never speak up against the wickedness of this land. You would be surprised, folks, when you speak to somebody, if you will say, man, what is taking place in our nation today is so wicked. Use the word wicked. You will be surprised how many people all of a sudden go, you believe that too? Oh, it is so refreshing to hear somebody say that. The other day I was in the gym and I said something to the guy. And all of a sudden he started saying things like, you believe, oh, that's exactly how I believe. But nobody's saying this. But people can speak perversity. They can speak all kinds of things. You would be surprised how many people today are just dying to hear somebody who has the boldness to say something. What happens when children are never spanked? Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. And yet that's the way some people live. But we were in Boulder Friday night. And I remember there's this couple going in front of us across the walkway, dragging this little girl who was moping. And I said, that's how you raise a liberal. How did I say that? Hon, I forget how I said it. But, you know, that's what they feel. You never speak. Here's this kid rebellious and screaming and crying. And the mom and dad just dragging it along. And then they take it into a restaurant where you're trying to eat and enjoy yourself. And you listen to all this stuff. What happens when children never spanked? They grow up to be Democrats. That's exactly what happens. And then, as they grow into that, they are now more set in their ways. And they can come to a point of no return. Well, they will never repent in spite of judgment. Even judgment has no effect upon them. How do you know that? Well, you go to the book of Revelation. And do you remember what happens in the book of Revelation as men are and they're set in their hearts against God? God sends the plagues. And what do men do? Do they repent? They do not. For example, chapter 16 and verse 9, I'll just read this to you. When the vials and the bowls are being poured out upon this earth, the Bible says this, and men were scorched with great heat. This is judgment. And blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. That's what happens when a man or a woman is set in their wickedness, when they don't get judgment right from the very beginning. The easiest child to lead to the Lord is the child who has been disciplined, because they know that when I do such and such, judgment comes. When I do this, judgment. Go with me to Psalm 119. Two verses in Psalm 119. There's more, but just these two verses, they're both in the same chapter, very closely found with each other. Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Notice, before I was afflicted. This implies that when I was afflicted, then I didn't go astray. Look at verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, so that what? I might learn thy statutes. It is judgment. It is affliction. It is the trouble that God brings that allows the child to learn, or the wicked man. It is good for the wicked man to be afflicted that he might learn God's statutes. I fear that America is on the brink of what we find in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You see, folks, the wicked will not be overwhelmed with the grace of God until the wicked is overwhelmed with the judgment of God. So many evangelicals are preaching about the grace of God and neglecting the judgment of God. How can a man ever appreciate the grace of God until he first knows the judgment of God? But when a man knows he's doomed, when a man knows, oh, woe is me. Then you preach the grace of God and you say, but God loved you. What we start with is the love of God. Oh, God loves everybody. And people think, well, if God loves me, I can do whatever I want. But you preach the judgment of God against sin and how God hates sin. And then you can bring in the good news. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Back to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 10. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. That's where we stopped before. Let's go to the second part of the verse. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly. You know, at one time, the nation of Israel was a wonderful land. I mean, you look at Israel under King David and then under King Solomon. Prosperous. Just a land that was benefiting from the righteousness of the people, the righteousness of the king. And now you would think that, wow, this is going to continue. What happens though? Boom, Rehoboam. And everything starts falling apart. I think of a land that is very prosperous, the land of uprightness. A favorable environment. A nation that is founded upon biblical principles. Like America. And you would think that one who is shown favor in a land like that, somebody who lives in a land like that would thank God. But no, last part of the verse, he will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Why? Showing favor to the wicked is not going to teach him righteousness. What does the Holy Spirit convince men of? Notice when Jesus said that when he has come, he will do this. I'm pausing here because I want you to try to remember what the Bible says there. It's found in John chapter 16. And when he has come, he will show men love. It's not what it says. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. John 16 and verse 8. Now I want to close with this passage in Romans chapter 5. And I want you to go there with me, please, because you know this verse 8, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I wonder if anybody could quote that before you get there. Romans 5:8, anybody? Here we go. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That verse talks about the love of God. And the love of God has been demonstrated to men in Jesus Christ. And we have been good at preaching that verse. But we have been intimidated into silence about verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved, period. No, from wrath. From wrath through him. Romans 5:9 is perceived as negative because, well, it talks about God's wrath. And, you know, I don't want to ever talk to somebody about God's wrath. Folks, we need to let men know that judgment is coming. Because of their sin. And when they have no hope, that's when we say, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, there's the watchman. And the watchman who sees the enemy coming and says nothing, the Bible says, the blood of those who die will be upon your hands. But the watchman who cries out, and if the people don't listen, the blood is upon their own heads. Are we the watchman that we should be? They shall know that I am the Lord. What persuades the heathen? Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, will he deal unjustly? And will not behold the majesty of the Lord. I wanted to bring this tonight because I fear that too often, and as I look at what's happening in our nation, they go on unchecked. And we need to be the salt that irritates the wound. We need to be the salt. When the salt has lost its savor, it is good for nothing but to be cast out and trod underfoot of men. I trust that's not us.